We are in our freedom series. How many of you enjoy freedom? Whoop, whoop, I do. Lots of freedom. As I was fishing the locks on Selway this week, I was saying, thank you, Lord, that we can go do this. And it's reasonably free. There is a small charge. But just for a license, it's not too bad. But there are many freedoms we get to enjoy. And one of those freedoms that God has given us is the freedom of choice. Like, God could have made us puppets and he could dance us around through our lives and do his will and make us do what he wants us to do all of our lives. And we could have no say in it and just be mindless little puppets. But God said, no, I want to have a relationship with you, but I want to give you the choice to choose to have a relationship with me. And some of our choices in life are pretty simple. Like, some of us chose to have breakfast this morning. Some of us chose just to have coffee this morning. Maybe some of us only chose to have water this morning. All of us chose to put clothes on this morning. Thank you. Right? There are many choices we make throughout our lives. Every day, every minute, some are life-altering choices. Some are going to redirect our lives for the next 30, 40, 50 years. Some of our choices are just going to direct whether I'm hungry by 11 o'clock or not. But God's given us this great gift of choices. In John 10:10, the Word of God tells us, I don't have this, I didn't give it to the people up there, so you won't see it behind me, but it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, being Jesus speaking here, have come that you may have life and have it abundantly or overflowing or to the fullest measure. So you and I get to make choices in engaging in life each and every day. We're either partnering with Satan or we're partnering with Jesus. If we make choices that steal, kill, and destroy those around us or ourselves, we are partnering with Satan, the enemy of our soul. If we make choices to live a life that is full and abundant through Jesus Christ, we're partnering with Jesus. Jesus' desire is for us to have a life where we live, where we laugh, where we love. Satan desires us to have a life where we kill, steal, and destroy. Who are you partnering with in your moments? Who are you partnering with in your choices? Sometimes we think of choices as it's either good or evil, right? It's a good choice or an evil choice. I'd like to take it a step further. Sometimes the choice is between good and best. Good is I can get by and survive and make it. I can manage. Best is God's plan for my life. And how do I get from making good and evil choices to the point that I'm making good or best choices? We can get by and survive on this, but God has something better for me. And making the choices that align with God's plan and purpose for our lives. About 25 years ago, I was guiding a lion hunt on the Selway River. And we had got a lion for this gentleman, and now he wants to pursue a bobcat, which are generally a little more tricky to catch. And we finally caught this bobcat on day 5 or 6 of the hunt. And we went up to the tree and he harvested the bobcat, and we're coming back out, and we got to the road bank, and you can see the truck down there about 100 feet, and it's like pretty vertical. And if you go about 50 yards around to the right, it's a nice, easy, gradual grade down to the road. And I'm 18, 19 at this time, one of my first hunts. My guest is late 40s, early 50s. And I try to gently curb him over to the right and say, over here's a pretty good place to get down if you want to follow my steps. And he kind of scoffed at me and treated me like a little boy and like, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going straight to the truck. It's the closest way. Me, being a hunting guide, I'm reading the conditions. Like, I know under this 6 inches of snow, it is froze extremely hard. And once you go through the snow, you hit ice. So I try to instruct him again, no, let's go down over here. Don't tell me what to do. I've been hiking longer than you've been alive. Okay, one step over the hill. He slips and cartwheels the 100 feet down to the truck, piles up in the ditch. I'm not certain he wasn't unconscious for a while by the time we got to him. Sometimes we laugh and giggle, but sometimes this is God giving us instruction. And I've been there, I'll be honest. God said, hey, Arby, I have a best plan for you. He said, no thanks, Lord. I can get by. I can manage. I can make it happen. I'll go my own way. And we can go our own way, but it's going to hurt. It's going to leave some marks. It's going to leave some damage. And at best, it only damages us. At worst, it damages a whole bunch of people in our wake when we make choices that are just good and not God's best. Think about the choices you make and what is the ripple effect as they carry throughout the next decade or two or three of your life. How are your choices today affecting those beyond you, those who will come behind you? Make the best choices. God's will and plan is for our very best. That's his direction for our lives. But you and I have to choose to align our lives with his best plan for our lives. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 21, we're going to break these down as we walk through it, if we have time. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Of course, we started out with therefore. So before we break those down, we have to jump back to Romans 11, 25 through 36. We're not going to read that. I didn't give that to them. But it's talking about all of Israel will be saved. God's will for humanity is that all would be saved through Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. That's the truth. God's plan for us is eternity in heaven. But we have to choose to align ourselves with his plan. We have to choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But as it states in here, Israel becomes disobedient again and again. And God says, oh, I want them to choose my way. So God has mercy on them. Thank God for his mercy. So therefore is referring to God's will for our lives, our choices to be disobedient. And God says, please receive my mercy. He extends it to us again. God extending his mercy to us, we have to choose to receive that mercy. This takes humility. I have to be willing to say, what I did was wrong. I cannot fix it on my own. I need Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, to cover the debt that I owe. This is how we choose God's mercy. It takes humility on our part. It takes action. It's a choice. We have to say, I can't fix this. I can't do this on my own, but I need a Lord and Savior, one who paid it all to make a way for me. In that passage in verse 29, Romans 11, it says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. God has gifts that he has given each and every human being on the earth from the beginning of time until now, until Jesus comes again. He has a call on each and every specific individual's life, a specific plan for you and I to fulfill, and we're the only person that can walk in that calling, in those gifts and abilities that God has given to us. You and I have to choose to partner with God, using our gifts for his glory and not our own, using our call for his glory and not our own. We see this throughout the world, people who use their gifts and their call for God's glory and not for God's glory. But his call and his gifts are irrevocable, means they can't be taken back. They've been given. You and I have to choose to use them for his glory, for his purposes. Will you answer the call of God today? You say, Lord, I've been walking out of your will, out of your plan, and I want to align my life with yours. Open my eyes to see the gifts you've given me. Open my eyes to see how I've not used them for your glory. God, open my eyes to the call that you have on my life and what you would have me to do with it. For me, one of those calls was to be a pastor. It was never on my radar, never a plan I had for my life. It was something I had to give up a lot to answer the call. That's part of that living sacrifice. But answering God's call is the best plan for your life. Excuse me. All right, now we can jump back into verse 1. The first part of that, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. How do we truly worship God? We use our lives as living sacrifices for his glory. A simple piece of this, on a simple level. So we're camping this weekend, our neighbor campers, they're sitting there and they brought this four-wheeler so they could drive up the road, drop the rafts in, leave the four-wheeler at the bottom, float down, then shuttle themselves. They get to camp and their four-wheeler won't work. So on day two or three, they come over and ask me, hey, if it wouldn't be too much trouble, would you mind riding up to the put-in with us and we'll put our rafts in the water and then drive our truck back to camp for us? I could have said no, we have plans, which we did. But instead, I said, yeah, no problem. When are you leaving? And they were leaving in a while. I was like, so it cost us about an hour and a half of our day of when we wanted to go. Very small sacrifice. But that's part of being a living sacrifice, because I'd already talked to the gentleman. Of course, one of the common questions is, what do you do? I'm a pastor. So how would that reflect on Jesus if I said, no, we have our own thing going on. Take care of yourself. But instead, I get to sacrifice a little bit of my time to help somebody out, get to ride in a vehicle and have a conversation with them. Small sacrifice. That's every day being a living sacrifice. God, show me those moments. And we got to have great conversation on the way up the road to the boat launch. We got to hear of their, would have been their grandson, going in for surgery. Got to pray with them. They said, would you pray for our trip down the river too? I said, yeah. Why, we get to the takeout and the put-in and their rafts are already halfway deflated. And they didn't have oars, so they had grabbed sticks for oars. And I'm like, oh, this looks scary. I'm definitely going to pray for you because it looks like you need it. Anybody else ever try to go down a river in a half-inflated raft with a stick for an oar? A few of us have done it. I've been up a creek without a paddle, too. And just saying, life gets real. But I could have not been a living sacrifice in that moment and just did my own thing. And it would have been no big deal. They would have been fine with it. He was going to go drop the stuff off, drive the truck to camp, and then walk back up and meet them. It was only like 6 miles in 100-degree weather. It's not bad. But it's those little moments in everyday life, and it's holy and pleasing to God when we do that. And yes, it inconveniences us sometimes a little bit. Sometimes it completely alters and changes the course and direction of our life. When I quit guiding full-time to come pastor full-time, it was no small sacrifice. I had a great job with incredible benefits, with incredible people. A dream job, if you talk to any outdoorsman. I got paid to ride horses through the mountains and snowmobiles through the mountains and four-wheelers through the mountains and hike through the mountains. For me, that's a dream job. I loved it. But God said, will you come teach for me? I had a choice. What would I respond? And for some of us, it's going to be a big life-altering choice. And my family has sacrificed greatly because of that. That's being a living sacrifice, saying, God, I don't like your plan, but I love your will. So I'm going to say yes and keep doing what you've called me to do. We have those choices to make each and every day in our lives. This is our true and proper worship to God. We don't just sing songs together and worship God, but with our lives, we worship God each and every day through the choices we make. We're either partnering with His will or Satan's will. Verse number 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you ever sit and wonder, what is God's will? This is a recipe for knowing God's will. We have to start with transforming our heart and mind to that of Christ. The thing I love about this, my wife pointed out this morning, transformation, if you think about caterpillars becoming butterflies, is the caterpillar, he runs around and eats food and eats food and eats food and stores up and gets fat. And then pretty soon he goes into the process of chrysalis, and his outside skeleton becomes his cocoon or his house, and all the insides of him turn to this jelly mesh, mush matter. And inside of that, there are the magneal disc, something like that. Anyway, there's these little components inside of him that stay intact that turn into his eyeballs and his antennas and his wings and his legs and his thorax and his abdomen that make up the little, but everything else that he has developed and built to that point turns to mush. And it's a process. Has to totally dissolve everything he knew and was, and then turn into this butterfly over time. And if it's opened early, the butterfly can't survive. And if you help the butterfly out of the shell, it can't survive, because he needs to build strength as he's stretching against his cocoon so that he can open his wings and fly when he comes out. So you can't help them in this process. The part of transformation in our lives, it is a process. It's not a happening. But it is a process when we go from, I was in sin, I was apart from God, now I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, and now the transformation process begins to happen and take place to become who God has called us to be as men and women of the Most High, as sons and daughters of the Most High. So bear with one another as we're in process transforming into the likeness of Christ, as we are renewing our mind, because we got to get rid of all the stuff that's not of God in us. And we've got to replace it with Jesus in us. I need to have His mind, His thoughts, His actions, His words, His plans over my life. Just remember, it's okay to be in process, but you need that time to retrain, refocus into who God has created you to be. I love the part of renewing your mind. It's not a renewal of mind, it's a renewing, which means it's a continual happening day after day. You stay in that process as you engaged with Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not a once and done. It's a continue renewing your mind daily. How do you do that? Through the washing or reading, hearing of the Word of God. God, what's your plan? He gives us a roadmap how to live, laugh, and love. He gives us a roadmap to His very best plan for our lives. But we have to read it. We have to know it. Test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Man, I want to know what His will is. We get to test it against the Word of God. Does this will and plan light up with the Word of God and what He says to do? Verse number 3. Before we get to that, don't conform the Bible to fit your life, but transform your life to fit the Bible. That's God's best plan for our lives. Don't conform the Bible to fit your life, but transform your life to fit the Bible. Verse number 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. We need to come before God humbly. Say, God, I need you. We have to recognize we need a Savior. And he wants us to be 100% of who he's created us to be, but not to be conceited or arrogant about it, but to be confident in who he's created us to be. There's a portion in there that says, according to the faith he has given us. I love that. He has given us faith. And he requires each of us 100% of what he's given us. We're responsible for what he's given you as an individual. Right? I can't be responsible for what he's given you. But you're responsible for what he's given you. Verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We are responsible for our gifts. And each of us collectively add flavor to the body of Christ. Your gifts are valuable. Your gifts are necessary. But are you choosing to use them for God's glory? Are you choosing to use them for his plan and his purpose? Don't look down on yourself because you're not like someone else, because that's exactly how God made you. Just say, thank you, I'm not like Pastor Arby. Good, none of you said that. Whew. That was a test to see who was awake and who was sleeping. But God made each of us uniquely different, with different gifts and talents and abilities, so that we would complement one another in the body of Christ and not compete with one another. It should be a completion. Use them all for God's glory. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. God's pretty clear. Cling to what is good, and he tells us what to hate. Hate what is evil. Don't hate people. Don't hate nations or nationalities or colors or sexes, but hate what is evil, the action of. That's what we're supposed to hate, the plan of Satan, which is evil. Verse 10, be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourselves. We have choices to make. Are we going to be devoted to one another in love? Are we going to honor one another in Christ Jesus? We have those choices to make when conversations arise, when rumors start to stir. Who are we going to partner with? Are we going to partner in honor and love? Or are we going to partner in slander, gossip, dissension, disrespect? What are we going to partner with? We get to choose. Sometimes we choose correctly, sometimes we choose wrongly. If we choose wrongly, we still have a choice. Do I go and repent and ask forgiveness? Or do I sweep it under the rug like it never happened and move on? We still have choices to make. Make choices that honor the Lord and those around you. Verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Serve wholeheartedly. We get to choose. What do you listen to? What do you partner with? Well, I liked your last two messages, Pastor, but this one kind of was dead. So we're going to go find a new church. We get to choose, right? Serving the Lord should be about him, not about pastor. Unless I'm like way off base, and then you should have a conversation for sure. But we get to choose each and every day. We come to like church for God, or should be for God, for us too. The church should be a hospital where we get healed and healthy and whole and get knowledge from the Word of God to do that. But we should be coming because, God, I love you. God, I want to serve you. All of you made a choice to be here today. Those of you online today, you made a choice to tune in and listen instead of being out fishing or camping. That is honorable. That is pleasing and holy before the Lord. The living sacrifices each of you made today to say, I'm going to take this time out to hear your word, Lord. I'm going to take this time out to sing praises to your holy name with the body of Christ Jesus. God is pleased with that. It's that easy. On the smallest, simplest level, it's that easy to please and honor the Lord, taking time out of our day to say, God, I want to spend it with you. His desire is to be in relationship with each of us daily. Verse number 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I like all of that, but that affliction word. I don't like that part. But God warns us, in this world we will have trouble. He doesn't say it's all going to be easy and rainbows and butterflies. He says, no. Be patient in affliction, joyful in hope, faithful in prayer. Can you partner with those? Can you choose to do those things? I want to choose to be joyful. I want to choose to be patient, or at least I'm working on that one. You pray for patience. God will give you reasons to have patience. God gives you opportunity to grow. Sometimes we look at that as a struggle or a burden or a roadblock, but God gives us opportunities to grow. Says, all right, Arby, you asked for patience. I'm going to give you a situation where you need it. I'm going to give you opportunity to practice. So make sure you want this stuff when you start asking. Because God will give you opportunity to grow and develop who you are in Christ Jesus. Verse 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Do you know hospitality is a spiritual gift? The gift of hospitality is a spiritual gift. It's as easy as inviting people over to your house for dinner or a Bible study or a life group setting and preparing for them, showing hospitality. It's that simple. Share with those around you. What do you have that others need? Are you generous like God is generous to you? Or are you stingy? What choices will you make? Verse 14 and 15. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. How do we choose God's way when somebody's persecuting us? We bless them. That's being a living sacrifice, blessing those who curse you. I like the rejoice with those who are rejoicing part. So I picked that one. You guys have to pick from the other two. Who wants blessing those who persecute you and who wants mourning? No, we're asked to do all of them. To partner with God, we have to bless those who persecute us. We have to rejoice with those rejoicing and mourn with those who are mourning. Sometimes I have to remind myself when I'm doing funeral services, Because I see people I haven't seen sometimes in 10 or 20 years. And like my heart leaps inside of me and I rejoice at seeing them well and doing good. And I like want to greet them at the door like, hey, how you doing? It's so good to see you. And it's like, oh yeah, we're here because Uncle Fred passed away. And like, I should like chill a little. Like, try not to be rejoicing when you're with those who are mourning. Try not to be mourning with those who are rejoicing, right? Read the room, read the situation. Because God calls us to be a living sacrifice in all of those moments in people's lives. And how do we meet them where they're at as Jesus would meet us where we're at? How do we engage and love them well in those moments? Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. About verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Don't repay evil for evil. That's tough sometimes. Sometimes my responsometer isn't correct. It's not aligned with God. It's aligned with Arby and humanity. And I have to go, whoa, 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 this is not a godly response, Arby. And hopefully I catch it before it pegs over here in the wrong direction and I react instead of respond. And if I do, then I have to come back and backtrack and ask forgiveness and apologize and do what needs right to make the relationship right again. But I'm getting a lot better at responding instead of reacting. Responding is doing what Christ asked me to do in a hard situation. Reacting is what my humanity tells me to do in a hard situation. That's when adrenaline flows and you're in fight or flight mode and it's not pretty. But the Lord gives us the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, that we may grow and develop in it and not be today who we once were yesterday. Should be a constant growing, developing relationship in our lives. Do not repay evil for evil. Do what is right in the sight of God and man. Verse 18 and 19. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. Live at peace. Don't take revenge. I can't control their actions or their thoughts or their words, but I'm in charge of this guy. And each of you are in charge of you. We're responsible for ourselves. Take responsibility for your words and actions. Verse 20. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Take care of your enemies. What? This is Jesus talking to us. Love your enemy, I think is how Jesus said it. Love your enemy. What? I think I got a bad copy. Does anybody else have a different one? Sometimes we think that way, right? Because we want the word of God to align with us. But no, God's word says, love your enemy, take care of them, give them food, give them drink, give them hospitality as your enemy. That's what the word of God says. I think about what took place with Trump here a few days ago, whenever that was. I was in the mountains, so I didn't hear about it until we got out. But it's easy to point fingers. It's easy to say Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, black, white, whatever label you want to put on it. Big picture is it's evil. Evil took place in our nation. Why? Because our nation collectively is losing its heart turned toward God. The Word of God tells us to come before Him, repent, and turn back to Him. And He will once again bless us. But we as a nation have to do that. And we as Christians have to make sure we're not falling prey to returning evil for evil, but rather doing what the Word of God calls us to love our enemies and look at the big picture of this is Satan at work in our country, and we need to pray against evil in the land, that the people of the land, their hearts will be turned back to the Father, that they would repent of their wicked ways. That's what we as Christians should be doing, praying, God, let your glory fall. God, let your kindness lead these people to repentance all across the land that don't know you. God, let the hearts of the fathers return to the sons. Let the hearts of the son return to the father. Let the generations be restored that have been torn down and broken. That's what our heart's cry should be. That's the heart of our Heavenly Father for our nation, that hearts and families and generational lines will be restored to his plan of what is best for them. And that should be our end goal that we're looking at constantly and pursuing. And if I don't make me into the man God's called me to be, I can't help those he's called me to help, because I'm just living a good life and not God's best life of what he's called me to. That's the big picture. God, remove evil from this land. Verse 21, the last verse we're going to look at. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's our key. God gives us overcome evil with good. Don't allow evil to enter in and overcome you, because that is the devil's desire for your life, that you would return evil for evil, that you would respond in evil. God says, no, I've given you power and authority to overcome evil with good, but you have to choose and partner with my plan and my purposes to overcome evil with good. Thank God he gives us this amazing roadmap, his word. How do you overcome evil with good? Start reading his word. What does he say about it? What does he say to do in any given situation? It's all in there. We don't have time for all of it today. But we'll continue on week after week. One final story in closing. I was guiding the lion hunt 15 years ago or so. Time's getting away from me these days. Might have been 18, 20 years ago. I had this gentleman, and we were lion hunting and checking this drainage. And it's a one-way in road, goes up. We go up about 10 miles to where we like to turn around and then come back out. And we get up to the turnaround, and he's like, and it was cold. It was nasty. It was not one of those pleasant days of guiding in the woods. It's one of those days you wish you were a pastor. But we got to the turnaround. He's like, man, I'm freezing. I just want to get out of here. And I'm like, all right. It's like, I'm like, if you want, I can like hustle down to the truck, get the truck started, get the heater on, get the dogs loaded, get the sled put up. And as soon as you get there, we can load your machine and leave, get back to the lodge and have a nice warm fire and coffee and, you know, soup and whatever. And I was like, but I want you to take it easy. Like, don't try to keep up with me. Like, just come back at your own pace. By the time you get there, I'll have everything taken care of. We'll load your machine and go. Okay, great plan. Wonderful. So I go down, I load my machine and load the dogs, have the truck warming up, and he doesn't show up. He doesn't show up. He doesn't show up. This isn't good. Like, I thought I'd be there 15 minutes ahead of him, maybe. Pretty soon it's 15-minute mark and he's still not there. So I unload my machine and go racing back up the road. I get to the 4-mile mark and he's not there yet. And I get to the 5 and the 6 and he's not there yet. I'm like, okay, we're getting pretty close to where we started. Hopefully he's not sitting up here in the pouring rain on a broke down machine. I get like 3 miles from where we'd taken off, and here he is laying in the ditch, and his snowmobile's upside down, and he's knocked out. I'm like, ugh, this isn't good. So I go get him, and he's coming back to consciousness and breathing again. Not what we were doing. He's like, but you got out of sight. I didn't know if I could find my way back. And I'm like, there's one road. Like, there's not a lot of turnoffs. There's this road. It leads to the truck. And it was like our third or fourth day running this road together. But sometimes it's that way in our life. And God's got us, and he's like, hey, gets us on the path, and we get going the right direction. He's like, all right, you ready? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. And all of a sudden, it's like, God, where'd you go? And we freak out, and then we start driving beyond our ability, trying to keep up. We get out of his lane, and we wind up in disaster. And God's got to come scoop us back up. And go, Arby, this isn't what we talked about. This wasn't the plan. You started running on your own again instead of what I've called you to do. And hopefully it's a nice, easy reset. It could have ended very badly that day. And his snowmobile was upside down, stuck in like a lawn dart in the bank. It was scary. Man, we have those moments in our life when we start running with God and we get a little overexcited and go beyond what he's called us to do in that moment, and we don't take the time in the chrysalis to let all that ooze turn into something beautiful that God created inside of us. So when the right time of the Lord comes, we can be released as this beautiful butterfly. God's perfect plan and will, he doesn't call you today and send you tomorrow. You have to take time to mature and develop and become a transformed new creation in Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior, renewing of your heart and mind so that we don't get tomorrow. What would you have me do 5 or 10 years from now? God will take time to develop you, to train you, to grow you into the man and woman he has called you to be. He is patient. He is kind. He is long-suffering. I know because he's been working on me for a while. And he is gentle. And he is faithful. And he is trustworthy. Take your time. Grow and develop into the man and woman God has called you to be. Make the right choices along the way. When you make a wrong choice, the right choice is repentance, seeking forgiveness and reconciliation. Get back on track, start making right choices again. God's night of night, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your plan. God, your purposes for our lives. God, we thank you that you, God, invite us, God, to be a part of what you're doing here on this earth. God, we thank you that you, God, you engage with us wherever we are at. God, that you will meet us. God, when we call on your name. God, when we seek you, we will find you, and we thank you that you are always there. God, I ask your blessing upon those gathered here today. God, those online listening and viewing. God, let your blessing flow in their homes. God, in their businesses, in their places of employment. God, that your hand will be upon them as they seek and serve you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.